Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 4, 5, and 6. Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read verses 4 and 6 if you'll join with me on verse number 5. Once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning verse number 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you. Lord, what a great day to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that we'd have listening ears and open hearts to what you have for us this morning. I pray this special where we begin to prepare our hearts for what you have. And Lord, let us listen and take something from the message away today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Angels appeared unto shepherds, bearing the news of his birth. Glory to God in the highest. God had come down to the earth. Shepherds sought till they found him. Wise men brought treasure and myrrh. Surely one spoke to the other, we will never be what we once were. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill be to men. Sweet news, this Jesus born of a virgin, carpenter, king of the Jews. Though I was not with the shepherds, and have less to bring than wise men, I too have been changed since I met him. I am not what I had been. Glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill be to men. Emmanuel, Emmanuel has forgiven my sin. Glory to God. I am not what I had been. Glory to God. I am not what I had been.
Thank you this morning for the good music. I want to draw your attention to verse number 6. We read there with Brother Bragg just a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 1, where the Bible says, if I can get my Bible open there, verse number 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So I want to speak on this subject on this Christmas morning. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that salvation has made us what we have, a different creature. We're a new person in the Lord Jesus this morning. And we're grateful for salvation that came to earth on that Christmas morning in the form of that little child. We pray that your word might go forth in power today, Lord, that you'll fill us with your spirit, help our minds to be focused and attentive on the text at hand, and would you please control my thoughts, my lips, and Lord, speak to our hearts as only you can. We help us to worship you rightly this morning in spirit and in truth, and I know that's what you seek. We ask it in Christ's name, and amen. I don't suppose there's another holiday or special occasion that produces as much joy as Christmas. And I'm talking about now for Americans, especially, I don't think so. You know, the 4th of July is a cause for great celebration. There are probably more concerts, and there's fireworks, and there's get-togethers and cookouts and so forth on the 4th of July, more so than Memorial Day, more so than Labor Day, and any other special occasion during the calendar year. But the 4th of July doesn't even, I don't think, come to the same level as far as joy that Christmas Day does. And I know America's independence and America's freedom has had an impact on the world. There are countries today who enjoy freedom and liberty that they would not have enjoyed if it hadn't been for the United States of America and us going to fight for that reason. But still, the impact that Christ's birth made on the world is much greater than anything America's existence has made on the world. So I say this morning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now, Hebrews is a fascinating book. I would like to go through it someday with our church, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Pardon me, haven't had any liberty from the Lord to do that as of yet, so just continue to read it and enjoy it and be blessed by it. The subject or the theme of the book of Hebrews is found in the word better. Better. B-E-T-T-E-R. And a lot of what is better is about Jesus Christ. And right away here in chapter number 1, the writer begins by pointing out that Jesus is better than the angels. That's what we read in verse number 4 there, being made so much better than the angels. And then he gives several reasons why Jesus is better than the angels. First of all, Jesus has a better name than the angels. Look at verse number 4 in your Bible, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. His name is more excellent. And the reason it's more excellent than that of the angels is because he obtained it by inheritance. His name is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. His name means that he is the Son of God and God the Son, and no angel can make that claim. Now, when you read the Bible, you're going to see where the angels are called sons of God, little s, lowercase s, sons of God. They're called that in the book of Job. I believe they're called that in the book of, Genesis. There's no place in the Scripture where angels are referred to as the Son, capital S, uppercase S, of God. No, there's only one person that name is reserved for, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a big difference in little, lowercase Son of God and capital, uppercase Son of God. Now, we don't really know the names of many angels in the Scripture. If you read the book of Revelation, chapter 9, there are the names of Abaddon or Apollyon. Same being, just two different names, Abaddon or Apollyon. Pardon me, that's the name of the angel who presides over the bottomless pit. So there is an angel. Some people think that that's Satan. Personally, I don't believe that's Satan, because Satan's roaming to and fro over the earth, going hither and yon. He has access to heaven. This angel, Abaddon or Apollyon, he's over the bottomless pit, and he is the one who presides over it. So I think that's another one of those devil angels that fell with Lucifer from heaven. And then, of course, we know the name of Lucifer. That was the name given to the angel who became Satan, or we call him the devil. And then there's the name Gabriel, which is important this time of the year. Gabriel is the messenger angel, and Gabriel brought messages about Christ's birth to people on earth, Mary and to Joseph. And then you've got the name Michael. Michael's the warrior angel. He's the one who is involved, I believe, in leading the heavenly host of heaven, that warrior group of angels. And Michael was that battling and warring angel. But none of those names, none of those angels, as far as I know, that's the only four names of angels we find in the Scripture. None of those names compares to the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus has such magnificent qualities and characteristics that it takes more than one name to completely identify Him. And Isaiah prophesied about it in chapter 9 and verse number 6, where the Bible says His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You know, a name is important. We talked about that on Wednesday night. A name is important. A name means something. I said on Wednesday night, a lot of times people will buy merchandise, buy things, items based on the name, the quality, the reputation of that product based on its name. My friend, there has been no... I was thinking about it again this Christmas season. I forget one of the groups I was talking to, either the staff or the school chapel service or somewhere in the last little bit. You know, as try as hard as they might, the world tries, like everything, to take the name of Christ out of Christmas. They just can't do it. You can't, you know, to take Christ out of Christmas would be like making the earth dissolve. They just can't do that. It's embedded indelibly in the whole Christmas season. There is no name compared to the name of Jesus Christ. His name is better than the angels. But there's a second thing this passage teaches us. Jesus has a closer relationship with God than the angels do. Look at verse number 5. He has a closer relationship with God. For unto which of the angels said He, that's God, at any time, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Jesus is better because He has a closer relationship with God than any other angel. Jesus enjoys a Father-Son relationship. No angel has that status. None. Now, this is one of those more difficult truths to understand, but we believe it because the Bible says it so. Within the eternal Godhead, the triune Godhead, are three persons. You know that. Father, Son, and Spirit. And the Bible tells us that these three are one. And yet when it comes to their relationship with each other, the Bible tells us that the Son is begotten of the Father. The Son is begotten of the Father. The Father said to Him, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten Thee. And He said also in another place, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. Talking about Jesus Christ. Those things were never said to any other angel or to any angel whatsoever, anywhere, anytime. But those words were said to Jesus Christ in Psalm chapter 2 and other places. It is recorded that the Father said those very things to Jesus Christ, the sons. You see, people, angels are not begotten beings. They are created beings. They were created at some point in the great work of creation that God did. But there is only one begotten Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I can't explain it to my own full and complete comprehension, but I know this. No angel ever has enjoyed the kind of relationship with the Father that Jesus does. He is better than the angels because of that relationship He enjoys with the Father. He's better with the angels because His name is more excellent. He's better than the angels because of a closer relationship with God the Father. Then there's a third thing in verses 7 through 14. And I won't take time to read through all of them, but look at verse number 7. And of the angels He saith, talking about the angels, God saith, who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. Jesus has a better position in heaven. Look at verse number 8. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Jesus has a better position in heaven than the angels do. The angels are ministering spirits sent forth to serve and help God's people. Some of those angels were at work this morning helping some of you people get here safely on the roads. You know, the older I've gotten, I think I've slowed down in my driving. I find myself and Joyce going up to Elgin on Wednesday nights after church on 294, and people are flying past me. And I look down, I'm going 60 miles an hour. But I think to myself, Terry, you're getting old. I used to be the one driving 70 and 75, but the older I've got, I'm just not in a hurry, I guess, quite as much as I used to be. But some of you folks, it took three or four guardian angels just to get your crew here safe this morning. Amen. Yes, it did. Absolutely. Angels are ministering spirits. Sent forth as guardian angels. And most of us could stand this morning and give a testimony about the guardian angels taking care of us at one time or another since we've been alive. That's God's gift to us. Guardian angels. But now, wait a minute. The Bible says that Jesus has a throne. Jesus has a scepter. And Jesus has a kingdom. Kind of sounds like Jesus is a king. And we know that one of these days He will sit on His throne right here on planet Earth on the throne of His father David and rule and reign. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But right now, friend, you know where He is? He is seated at the right hand of God. He was involved in the creation of heaven and earth. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is better than the angels. He has it because He has a better position in heaven than they do. Seated at the right hand of the Father. So He's better than the angels because He has a better name. He's better than the angels because He has a better position in heaven. He's better than the angels because He has a better relationship with the Father. But I skipped the verse and I skipped it on purpose. This is where I want to spend the rest of my time this morning. In verse number 6, look at it again here. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. Jesus is better than the angels because He is the object of worship. He's the object of worship. On the night Christ was born as a babe in Bethlehem, God gave a commandment that rang throughout the heaven and earth. Let all the angels of God worship Him. Let all the angels... Now look, there were some angels who were no longer angels of God. They were fallen. And I don't believe the command went out to those angels. Why would angels who had rebelled against God and hated God, why would they be commanded to sing at the birth of Jesus Christ? It would have been insincere worship. It would have been filled with vindictiveness and hate. How could those people properly worship the babe? Those beings properly worship the babe. The Bible says that God looks for those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I think it's interesting that the command was, let all the angels of God worship Him. And I was thinking about that this week, folks. Could it be that the heavenly host mentioned in Luke chapter 2 was the complete collection of good angels all gathered into one huge heavenly choir? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a host of created beings? The Bible says that number was innumerable. You couldn't count all the good angels. And on the night Christ was born, God commanded all the angels to worship Him. Can you imagine the sound of that group singing? Can you imagine the noise of that choir as they sang on that hillside, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill toward men? I bet it was deafening. I bet it was deafening. You know, I read a little this week about big choirs. On October the 12th, 2015, 8,688 people in the Philippines sang in one great big choir. I watched about 30 seconds of a YouTube. It's incredible. And all the ladies were dressed in those Filipino-type jackets, you know, I forget what they're called. They're white, and all the guys were dressed in black, and they were singing 8,688. But then, on May 22nd of this past year, 2016, 21,262 people gathered in the Philippines and sang 21,000 member choir. And they sang three hymns. Can you imagine the sound of that? And on January the 30th, 2011, 121,440 people in India sang for over 5 minutes in one great big choir, sang some gospel hymns. 121,000. That's a big choir. But I believe with all of my heart that pales in comparison to the choir that sang on the night that Jesus was born. Let all the angels of God worship Him. And that one messenger angel, probably Gabriel, appeared unto the shepherds and told them about the babe that was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. He gave the shepherds, and then there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. A multitude. You know why they were there singing? Because God commanded it. Because God ordained it. God set it in motion. God set it in place. He said, I want all the angels. Let me tell you something, friend. There never has been a reception into the world like the angels gave the baby Jesus some 2,000 years ago. Let all the angels of God worship Him. And why not? Why not the biggest and best choir ever for the Son of God? And the Bible says all the angels worship. Hey, the angels don't receive worship. They give worship. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 10, John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, and he says this, I fell at His feet to worship Him, talking about an angel. And he, the angel, said unto John, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Worship God. The angels don't receive worship, they give worship. And on the night that Jesus was born, the angels didn't receive worship unto themselves, they gave worship. All the angels of God lifted their... And you know what amazes me? I still marvel sometimes. Look around on a Sunday when we're gathered in God's house and people are during a song service and they're looking here and looking there and nobody, they're not singing, they're not entered into it. I want to tell you something, friend. God commanded all the angels to sing at the birth of Jesus Christ. Man, when you and I come to church and we open a songbook like we did a little while ago and have the opportunity to lift our voice and praise to God, don't you know that pleases Him? Oh, that pleases Him. No, the angels don't receive worship, they give worship. And can I say this morning, folks, we should follow the example of the angels at this Christmas season. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Look right here, right there in chapter 1. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 6 and 7 with the Bible. Look at verse number 5 even. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, but Jesus He has. Whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Watch this. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. So the man was made a little lower than the angels. And Jesus made a little lower than the angels because He became like us. But I want you to notice that the Bible says we were made a little lower than the angels. And now the angels who were made a little higher than us, if you will, they worship Jesus at His birth. Then I think it would be wise for us to follow in their example. I love it when the choir sings, was it last week or the week before? Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born. I don't have to tell you this morning, Jesus is the real meaning of Christmas for the Christian. And we see Jesus in everything that goes on, folks. I'm just going to go down on record. I have in the past for these 26 and a half years here and other places, I'm for celebrating Christmas. I'm for the decorations. I'm for the trees. I'm for the lights. I'm for the music. I'm for it all. I don't worship any of that stuff. But all that stuff lends itself to the occasion of worshiping Christ. You know, in the green tree, it speaks of His being the vine and the fact that we are the branches. The lights remind us that He is the light of the world, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The songs remind us that He put a new song in our mouth, even praised our God. The colors of Christmas are red and green. Red reminds us of the precious blood that was shed as He came to the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Green reminds us that he that liveth and believeth in Him shall never die, because He is the resurrection and the life. The wreath, circular in shape, reminds us that He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. And the star reminds us that He is the bright and morning star, and even the gifts remind us that He is God's unspeakable gift for which we should give thanks every day. That all the angels of God worship Him. And if the angels worship Him on the night of His birth, then surely human beings ought to at this season of the year. Surely human beings ought to at this season of the year. No wonder emotions of joy and gladness spring from our hearts. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. And I was thinking about that song. Take your songbook and look at this real quick. Look at 317. 317. Now we sing this song. It's one of the most beloved songs at Christmas time. Probably joy to the world. Oh, come all you faithful. Hark the herald angels sing silent night. And grandma got run over by... No, excuse me. I'm sorry. All right. So, these are all songs that just thrill people. But look at the words of joy to the world. The Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room in heaven and nature sing. Look at the second verse. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Well, that's not now. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Verse 3, no more let sins and sorrows grow. That's not now. Nor thorns infest the ground. No, that's not now. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. Look at verse 4. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His... You know what this song is all about? This song is all about His second coming. That's what it's really all about. It's about the time when Jesus will come all the way to the earth. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm not talking about that time when He will come and appear in the sky and gather all those who've been saved in this New Testament, the bride of Christ, gather those up to Him. I'm not talking about the rapture. No, no, no. I'm talking about the second time He comes. When He leaves heaven and comes all the way to the earth and His feet touch on the Mount of Olives and it splits right in two and He walks down the western slope and over the brook Kidron and into the eastern gate of the temple that has been closed for years and will not open until He goes through it. Sits on the throne of His father David. That's what that song is about. That's when the earth's curse will be taken away for 1,000 years and the wolf will lay down with the lamb and there will be no thorns and the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord because Jesus reigns from His throne on earth. We're talking about a literal second coming when He comes all the way to the earth. But friend, you understand that we look forward to that day. Absolutely. But there would be no second coming. There would be no joy to the world. Jesus reigns on His throne if there hadn't been a first coming. If there hadn't been a manger. If there hadn't been a babe in Bethlehem. If there hadn't been this virgin girl carrying this only begotten Son of God in her womb. I had a good time with the adults and the teenagers who came in on the bus on Friday in that service. I really enjoyed preaching. We had a good service in there, Brother Dan. Did a good job in the four-part, and Mick was doing junior church, and we just had a good time. And you know, I told those folks, I said, I was talking about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and I said, a lot of these kids came out of Kankakee and so forth. I said, look, I see them in your neighborhoods, and they're all dressed up, and they got their satchels, and they got their materials, and they want to leave their materials with you, and they want to come have a Bible study in your house. And they look nice, but they deny that Jesus is God. And here they come in their white shirts and their dark pants and their little tag on their shirt or coat that identifies them as Brother So-and-so, Elder So-and-so. And they come with their materials and their satchels and their Mormons and they deny that Jesus is God the Son. And our Bible tells us that we have not even bid them a good day. Oh, no, I bid them a good day. And boy, a bunch of those kids were shaking their heads. They know because I see them, folks. I see them every Saturday up and down the same streets that you and I go up and down. Now, think about that. We're in those neighborhoods and on those doorsteps with the truth that Jesus is not just a good teacher, good preacher, great miracle worker. He's not just the Son of God. He's God the Son. And on those same doorsteps and same neighborhoods and same porches, people come before us or behind us denying that Jesus is God, the Son of God. False error, heresy, No, Jesus is better than the angels because He has a different relationship with God than any of the angels. He has a better name than they do. He has a better position than any of those angels have. And all the angels worshiped Him. Hey friend, don't tell me there's not something special about Jesus. He's better than all of those put together. All the heavenly creation of angels because He is the Son of God. There will be the kind of joy that the songwriter wrote about in that song, Joy to the World. There will be a throne. There will be a king. He will have His scepter. And He will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And sin will be... And righteousness will rule. And toward the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for just a little while and gather up an army. And can you imagine that? That after 1,000 years of Christ reigning in righteousness, there's still a group of people that will revolt and rebel against Him? It's amazing, isn't it? But it shows you how depraved human nature is. And it's the real, we see in that the reason that you and I need to be saved. And this song does say, joy to the world, let every heart prepare Him room. And I hope this morning I would think that in this crowd of folks, every heart in this room has prepared room for the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Because friend, before He ever sit on the throne in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, He needs to sit on the throne of your heart and my heart. Be not only our Savior, but our Lord. Because Jesus is better than the angels. For all of those reasons, joy to the world. The Lord is come. As we close this morning, I'd like for you to come, ask the ladies to come to the piano and the organ. I'd like for you to take your hymn book and I'd like for you to find the song, The Next Time He Comes. The Next Time He Comes. I'll find the page for you here. I was going to write it down and I forgot to. 364. 364. Find that page, 364. Let's stand together and let's sing The Next Time He Comes. This is about the time when He comes in His revelation and sits upon His throne in Jerusalem and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. 364 in your song books. Give us the introduction to recording. Let's sing it from our hearts this morning. We're singing together now. From the lofty courts of heaven came a bud on earth to bloom. Going when He left His Father, that His fate would be the tomb. But the grave, it could not hold Him. Angels rolled the stone away. And now the mighty rose of Sharon is still blooming yet today. But the next time He comes, He won't have to die for me. The next time He comes, there will be a Calvary. Oh, the next time He comes, who will begin eternity. And when He comes again, He'll be coming for me. Let's sing that second now together. I remember when I met Him, how the Spirit took control. He established my going, now He starts in my life's role. For a man to come from heaven, going in of Calvary. Oh, what love beyond all measure that He gave His life for me. Singing, but the next time, amen, He won't have to die for me. The next time He comes, there won't be a Calvary. Oh, the next time He comes, we'll begin eternity. And when He comes again, He'll be coming for me. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I just want to say thank you for coming out on this Christmas morning. And just a question or two for us before we have a brief invitation. Let the altar be open for anybody that would like it. Is there room in your heart for Him? Have you made room? I would think that on a Christmas morning like this, everybody that would assemble would be born into God's family, but I don't know that. Only God knows that. And if you're not saved, you know it. And friend, that you know time is running out. You know that the prophecies are true. You know that He's going to come a second time. You know that. And when He comes a second time, He'll not come as Savior. He'll come as King. Ruling and reigning. Are you saved? What a great day to get saved if you're not. And then number two, let all the angels of God worship Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you taken any time yesterday or early this morning? Or are you planning any time this afternoon to really stop and let it be about Christ? If you haven't opened your gifts yet, can I suggest reading the Christmas story before you open a present? Can I suggest reading Luke chapter 2 and praying and thanking the Lord Jesus for coming to this earth? Because when He came the first time, friend, He came to die. The song that we sang a little bit ago. He came to give His life. It really is about Christ. Enjoy the gifts, enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the food, enjoy the family time. But please, give some time to Him. If the angels were commanded to worship at His birth, then surely you and I should find time to do the same. Heavenly Father, thank You for this season of the year. I'm so glad there's a Christmas. I'm so glad we can sing, little kids sometimes sing the song, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. It's a time to think about You coming, Lord, and to worship You and our hearts and spirit and in truth. Lord, if there's one in our midst this morning not saved, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. If there's some this morning whose heart has wandered far away, maybe this would be the day that they'd hear the voice of the Spirit calling them back into good fellowship with Christ. May every family find time to worship Him today. May every individual find some time, if they haven't already, to worship Him today. May we in our hearts and publicly sing at His birth, thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming to this earth. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're not born again, there's somebody here that can talk to you about it. Or maybe you'd like to just kneel and spend a couple of minutes talking with the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask the ladies to play just a verse of invitation while we wait today.